Thank you, gentlemen. That was a blessing. I love the acoustic guitar. What a beautiful sound that is, as well as the piano. Praise the Lord for music. Boy, think about things we take for granted. How often do we take for granted just the beautiful sound of music? So we thank you guys for that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. You may have already cheated and looked in the back of the bulletin. Proverbs chapter 3, as we talk about following God's direction. Following God's directions. Now, one prayer request I did forget to mention. Please continue to pray for Don Fritz. He has a treatment this Wednesday, so please continue to pray for him and the upcoming issues he's dealing with cancer. So I pray that you, I ask that you continue to pray for him as he continues to work through this. And of course, pray for Gail as well. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, and our text will be verses 1 through 6. So if you have it, if you could please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be add to thee." Shall they add to thee? "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for our time already where we've been able to worship you in song, and our time of intercession where we come before you on the behalf of others in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to have your hand upon us this morning as now we transition into the preaching of your word. Pray that we would realize the importance of following your directions in our life. And so, Lord, I pray that you will be glorified by everything that's said here behind this pulpit. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray for that one who maybe just that one that just needed to hear this sermon this morning. And we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Following God's directions. Remember those days? I don't know how far back this goes. Remember those days when you had to follow someone's directions? If you wanted to get to someone's house or get to a meeting, they said, "Turn right at Exxon. Turn left at Circle K." Do you guys even know what a Circle K is? All right. They don't have those out here, do they? It's kind of like a little mini mart. You know, do a U-turn at Grace Bible Church. You know, there's times where we had to follow directions, handwritten directions. And then, of course, we prayed that we didn't get lost. There's times that we prayed we didn't get lost. But then when we did, of course, what do we do, men? Drive around for hours and hours and hours. Admit it, guys, we were being stubborn. Admit it. Till finally our wives would say, "Will you stop and ask for directions?" And then with that grumbling, we did the frown, right? We got to look at the frown. And we pull into a gas station, and we go inside, and we say, "Hey, I'm trying to find such and such street." And the teller would be like, "I have no idea." And then some guy who happened to be buying some Twinkies inside the store said, "Oh, I can help you out. What you need to do is you need to go, you need to turn right at the train tracks. Now, not the big train tracks, the little train tracks. And then you got to drive by Walgreens and you're going to see a pit bull and a go-kart. And just to keep it going." And you're like, "What?" And then, praise the Lord, revelation, we got the GPS. This was revelation from God for men. The GPS. I don't even remember what the GPS stands for, and I don't care. As long as it gets me where I need to go and I don't have to ask for directions. I used to wonder, Michigan, you know, many of you know Michigan, we used to live there, and it's a struggling state financially. Mostly when a lot of the automobile industries kind of struggled and it really kind of hurt that state, and they got potholes everywhere, they don't fix their roads. And I almost wonder if they didn't pay their GPS bill. Because I can't tell you how many times I turned in an address in the GPS and it had me going near Canada or something. It was just terrible. I never got where I needed to go in Michigan. Praise the Lord, we're not there anymore. Haven't had that problem in Pennsylvania yet. But praise the Lord for directions we get from God. Directions we get from His Word. This love letter, this owner's manual to the Christian life, to the Christian walk. How we get directions from the Word of God. Sometimes we get directions from others, other believers. Maybe it's someone in the Word of God that we get some direction from. Maybe it's other believers that we rub our shoulders with and we can learn from their mistakes, but then also maybe learn from their victories. Directions we get from the Word of God. Directions we get from maybe other believers. Some guidance, maybe some godly counsel. But then also directions we get from His Holy Spirit. Giving us direction and guidance throughout our lives as believers. And maybe it's year by year, maybe it's day by day, hour by hour, second by second, that we get guidance from the Lord. Of course, the directions from God will only help us if we follow God's directions. If somebody gave me directions written out and I say, well, I'm not going to pay attention to those. Not going to do much good. I'm probably going to get lost. God's given us directions by His Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the lives of others, and it's only going to help us if we follow God's directions. And when you think about it, all throughout Scripture, we can see people who did not follow God's directions. And what happened? It also often led to consequences, to judgment, to heartache, for those that did not follow God's directions. Now, the reality is we do have a free will. The reality is we do have a sin nature. The reality is that we do have a fleshly body. And that's why it's so important in our lives as believers that we live according to the Spirit and not the flesh. It's vital that we live in accordance to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding in our lives and not our flesh, so that we can follow God's directions. Now, sometimes we get lost, don't we? Sometimes we just get lost. Well, praise the Lord for His mercy, for His grace, for His Word, for His Spirit, that if we do get lost, we can grab God's Word and get back on the right path. Psalm 119:105. What? Thy Word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my path, a light unto my feet. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I lost that one. Sorry about that. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How often do we neglect the Word of God in our lives and continue to try to go through life without God's directions, without His guidance? Once we recognize we are lost, once we are aware we are off the path, it is vital, and this is not just for men, but for men, for women, old, young, children, that we stop and ask for directions. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have to ask for directions. So here in this text here, we look at King Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. He left a legacy of wisdom, guidance given from the Lord, but then also wrote these words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's given instruction to some young men. Now the interesting thing here about this instruction that he's giving these young men is that he's giving it to them like a father would give instruction to a son. That same time of love and compassion that a father would pour his instruction into his son. That thought made me think about some times in my life when I was a youth pastor for many years and a coach even longer. And it made me think about the times that I always tried to pour my heart and my knowledge and my experiences and my wisdom, godly wisdom, tried to pour it into those young people. I get emotional every time I see that relationship between, say, that coach and player, where that coach loves that player like he loves his own son. And I can attest those times where I was a youth pastor, I loved those kids like they were my own kids. When I was a coach, I would pour my heart into them. I would love those players like I love my own. And that's the type of love and compassion and commitment and care that we see King Solomon showing these young people as he continues to try to shower his wisdom and knowledge upon them. And even though these proverbs were written to young men, they are helpful to all believers who long to follow God's directions. Anyone who has the quest for godly wisdom, the quest to follow God's direction. Think about it. How often do believers go through life and we just don't seek God? We don't seek God about decisions. We don't seek God about things that are happening in our lives. And we try to what? Do things in our own strength. We try to allow stubborn and pride to motivate us to do things on our own without seeking God. Without seeking God's directions. Maybe we're not spending that time in prayer that we need to over the decision that's being made. Maybe we're not spending time in God's Word and learning from other believers and mistakes that they've made. Maybe some ways that they got victory. Maybe we're not getting godly counsel the way that we should. Too often we go through life making decisions without seeking God. Now, you think about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is obtaining facts, where wisdom is applying those facts to life. You know, the never-ending debate. What's got more value? Knowledge or wisdom? What has more value? Degrees or experience? What has more value, street smarts or book smarts? Well, I believe the Lord wants us to have both. As His children, He wants us to have both. He wants us to have a knowledge of His Word and His instruction and His guidance and His precepts. But He also wants us to be able to take that knowledge and apply it to our lives. Apply it to our walk as believers. He wants us to hide God's Word in our heart to help us throughout our lives, our walk as believers. He wants us to follow His directions. Now, through the writings of King Solomon, the Lord gives practical insight and guidelines for life. And I want to challenge you in one area here before I get to my first point. In one area. You may be doing our scripture reading, and if you're keeping up with the scripture reading chronologically through the Bible, stay with that. But if you're not, or maybe if you are, you want to give yourself a little bit more to read, read through Proverbs and do a chapter a day for a month. Just to see God's guidance, God's directions that He utilized Solomon to pen. First, we're going to look at God's direction brings commandments. God's direction brings commandments. Back in our text, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For lengths of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." God's direction shows keeping His commandment is a heart condition.
keeping his commandment is a heart condition. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so often believers get so bogged down with the dreadful duty of keeping God's commandments. Oh man, I got to do that. I can't do that. We get so bogged down with the duty of keeping God's commandments, and I believe so heartily that is a lie from the enemy. Because he's trying to convince Christians that there's no freedom in Christianity. There's only regulations and rules and restrictions. But Christianity really is just the opposite. Christianity is the freedom from the bondage of sin. The freedom. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, also freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of what? Of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Don't be concerned about the circumcision. Don't be concerned about being a Jew. Don't be concerned about the law. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. We can't keep the law. It's impossible. The law was to expose our sin. There was no way we could possibly keep the entire law. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You know, keeping God's word, keeping God's commandment is not a work thing. It's a heart thing. It's not a duty. It's our way to love our Heavenly Father, love Jesus Christ who took our place on that old rugged cross. Did for us what we could not do for ourselves. It's not a work thing, it's a heart thing. And I think so often as believers, we miss the big picture. We get so caught up in the rules and regulations of Christianity, and oh, I can't do that, instead of saying, you know what, God, I want to be obedient to your word. I want to be faithful to you because I love you. You know, we can sit up here as pastors and we can sit behind this pulpit and we can preach on sin till the sky falls. But until we grasp the fact that it's not a work thing, it's not duty, but love for God, it's not going to make any difference. We have to embrace in our lives. It's, yes, it is. We are to be obedient to the word of God, yes, but it's not a duty. It's a love. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Now, when you think about God's grace, if you want to turn back to our text, think about God's grace. God's grace was motivated by love, not duty. Romans 5:8, where God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was a love thing. Jesus Christ sacrificing himself on the cross for all mankind, for all sin. It was not a duty, it was a love thing. He did it out of love. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, I know he wanted to be obedient to his heavenly Father. He wanted to do his will. But he also did it out of love. He did it because he loves us. And if we love him, we will keep his commandments. 2 John 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. I'm going to read that again. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my what? Heart. That I might not sin against thee. If our obedience comes out of a love for God, it will help us not to sin against him. Love's a powerful motivator, isn't it? I mean, if you really stop and think about it, if you were walking down the street and you saw someone maybe getting beat up, maybe a stranger, you might have enough compassion to step in. But if it's someone you love, that's a different story, isn't it? As the great scholar said, Cy Robinson, it's on like Donkey Kong. Yeah, it'd be a different story, wouldn't it? If you're motivated by love and you see that person that's being beat down or attacked, if we're motivated by love, we're going to do whatever we can to help that person. Love is a powerful motivator. And when we sin, even when we sin against someone else, we have to embrace the truth that we are actually sinning against God. We're sinning against God. Believers should be displaying a loving devotion to the will of God. Victory over our flesh begins with a preparation of our heart. I'm going to read that again. Victory over our flesh begins with a preparation of the heart. We need to prepare our heart that we're going to get victory over temptation. We've got to prepare our heart that we're going to get victory over sin. We've got to prepare our heart that we're going to walk and according to God's commandments and precepts and statutes of his word. We have to prepare ourselves in our heart. Because if you wait till after the temptation and you haven't made that commitment to your heart already, we're going to fall. You have to make the preparations prior in our heart. Verse 1 here, going back to our text, he says, my son. Again, Solomon shows his care for those that he is writing to. He says, forget not my law. Forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, his reference to law and commandments there expresses divine instruction. It expresses divine guidance, divine direction. And by saying, let thine heart keep, he's saying that we need to sincerely observe God's divine instruction. We are to sincerely observe God's direction in our lives. You know, keeping God's law and commandments with a sincere heart will bring promised blessings. Look at verse 2. It says, I'll read verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. They'll bring promised blessings. Now, the reference to the word peace there in the Hebrew also, yeah, because peace is something that's profitable. I think all of us desire to have peace. I think that's kind of the quest that maybe we all have. But peace in the Hebrew is also talking about prosperity. Now, when you think about peace, it's something that is prosperous, isn't it? When we have peace, boy, what a struggle it is as we go through this life to have peace. Praise the Lord that he's a God that gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Even our own, when we think, well, there's no way I could get peace when I go through this trial, this tribulation on life. There's no way. God can give us a peace that passes all understanding. So he's talking about prosperity there, but then also add means will abound. So God's blessings of peace, prosperity will abound to us. Now, I know recently I've talked a few times about this prosperity gospel. A lot of these preachers are preaching that, boy, once you get saved, boy, God's just going to bless. Get the bucket out. Blessings are coming. He does long to bless. Don't get me wrong. God does long to bless His children. But He longs to bless His children who are living faithfully. He longs to bless His children who are living obedient, prayerful lives. He longs to bless His children that are keeping His commandments with a sincere heart. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen God working in my life. It's been a long time since I've really seen God really bless my life. Well, maybe it's time to do some spiritual inventory. Maybe it's time to do a heart check. Say, hey, you know, we're going to talk about this afternoon in our devotion. We're going to talk about David and how much he desired to allow himself to be searched and tested, and anything that any wicked way be exposed, because he desired to have that intimate relationship with God. And he says, search me, Lord. Try me, test me. Test my heart, my thoughts. And maybe it's time that we step back and say, you know what, Lord? I haven't done spiritual inventory in a while. Is there anything in my life that I need to get straightened out? Is there anything in my life that I need to give to you to ask forgiveness for so that I can now enjoy my relationship with you? You know, God's faithfulness to His promises, as we see here in verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them out of thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. God's faithfulness to His promises is often expressed by His mercy and His truth. And as believers, when we sincerely express mercy and truth in our heart to other believers, it expresses an integrity that is widely sensed and widely seen. When you talk about, it talks about here, bound around his neck, and the picture there is, it's like the attention that you would get if you were, ladies, if you were wearing a beautiful necklace. The attention that you would get from that, and to write them on thy heart is like reading that special writing that really just kind of speaks to our heart. You know, it should be an honor for us to show mercy and truth, to express mercy and truth in our lives. And when a believer follows God's direction of mercy and becomes merciful, not only does that person express love, but they express a Christ-like love. That person acts faithfully and truthfully, not only to the Lord, but to others, to those around us, to those lives that we touch. Second, we see that God's direction brings confidence. God's direction brings confidence. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with, what's that word? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. God's direction brings the believer confidence and understanding. Again, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor. You know, following God's direction and guidance will make us acceptable to God. It will also bring a sense of warm approval from God. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You think about presenting yourself to God, that's giving yourself up. Praise the Lord, He didn't say as a dead sacrifice. Praise the Lord, He didn't say as a sacrifice that has to go on the cross like Jesus. Praise the Lord, He said present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You think about a sacrifice, you know, what is a sacrifice? It's giving up something of value for something else. Obviously, we value our lives. And He's saying, I want you to give up your bodies a living sacrifice. I understand you value it, but I want you to give it to me because it's the least that we can do for what Jesus Christ did for us. To be acceptable to God. Now, good understanding in the sight of God and man, when you think about an understanding of God's directions, it will positively mold our character, our conduct. It'll bring sincerity. It'll bring uprightness to our motives and our actions. It will bring sincerity and uprightness to our motives and our actions. You know, it's one thing to do things going through the motions. A lot of things we do in our lives, we probably do just going through the motions. But it's amazing the impact when someone does something from their heart. It's a totally different perspective. It's a totally different thing that people see when things are done because of someone's heart versus someone just kind of going through the motions. It'll be something that'll be seen by God, and it will be seen by others. This understanding combined with trust in God will bring confidence. Again, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Think about a time where you've had a debate with someone. And maybe you read the answer just yesterday. And you know without a shadow of a doubt, absolutely, 100%, you are right. It's amazing how much confidence we have in that debate, don't we? You know, I have that confidence with most of my debates with my wife because I know that I'm absolutely right almost all the time. We have confidence, don't we, when you know you're right? We have confidence. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. It will bring confidence. It'll bring confidence that others will see. Confidence that will be shown in our testimony. And I think it's something that we need to realize, the power of the testimony. It's important that we show confidence in the Word of God, confidence in God's directions in our lives, because there are so many that attack the Word of God and attack the Lord, and we need to have that confidence that others see. Trust in the Lord with all their heart. Now, if you look at the word Lord there, we see it in all caps, which means, in the Hebrew, Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah is derived from the Hebrew verb hava, which means to be or being. But it's also connected to the Hebrew word shava, which means to live or life. And what it's expressing is the self-existent being of God. The one who has permanent existence, but then also the one to where it is essential to all life. He is essential to all life. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart. Not some, not most, all thy heart. And that brings confidence. But so what else do we see there? Again, the reflection's back on the heart. It's back on the heart. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. And the Hebrew, lean not, is al tish she'in, which means do not prop up thyself. Do not prop up thyself. And we think about if this pulpit is our own understanding, and we're not to be leaning up against it. What we should be leaning up against is the understanding that we get from the Word of God. We shouldn't be leaning on ourselves, our own knowledge, our own strength. But we should be leaning on the knowledge and the understanding that we get from the Word of God. Romans 1:22. Most of you probably know this. Professing themselves to be what? Wise. They became fools. We should not be leaning on to our own understanding. We should be leaning on the understanding that we get from God. Now remember, these verses are written to young men who are diligently studying the Word of God. They are studying for guidance about mercy, about truth, about sincerity, about obedience, about faithfulness, about understanding, about wisdom, about confidence. Very similar to the challenge that Timothy took from Paul. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Very similar to the mentoring that Paul was giving to this young preacher, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 9. It says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. But to the subverting of the hearers, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we see that. Study to what? Show thyself approved unto God. A workman. Someone who was putting in work. That's what these young men were trying to do. They were putting in work. Timothy was putting in work to study the word of God, to show themselves approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth, to show thyself approved unto God. But we can't lean on our own understanding. Unfortunately, we allow ourselves to get pulled away by this society's thinking of doing things on your own and it's all about me, instead of realizing that we can't lean on our own knowledge. We can't lean on our own understanding. We have to lean on God's. We have to follow God's directions. Which brings me to my third point as I finish up here. God's direction brings commitment. God's direction brings commitment. If you want to go back to our text in verse 6. In all thy ways, you know, I'm going to go back to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God's direction will bring a commitment to the path that he has laid out. To receive God's guidance and direction, we must acknowledge God in all that we do. He gets all the honor. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. And that's in the beginning, that's in the middle, and that's in the end. Every work. Every service, every compassionate deed, everything that we feel purpose to do, everything that we do in our lives, we must acknowledge God. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. Me being a sports guy, I'm always so encouraged when I see someone succeed on the football field or basketball court or whatever, and that interview, that reporter's in front of him, give him that interview, and they say, I want to give all the glory to God. I get goosebumps every time. Praise the Lord. There's someone that says, you know what, it's not about me. It's not how many sprints I did, how much I lifted weights. It's about God. God, I'm acknowledging God. I'm giving him the glory for everything that he's done. Because without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. And we have to acknowledge him in all of thy ways. And it's not just the end. Praise the Lord when it happens at the end. Praise the Lord when someone gets victory and excels in something, and at the very end they say, I want to give all the glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to give God all the glory. Praise the Lord when it happens at the end, but it should happen at the beginning as well. Well, Pastor Rich, how can it happen in the beginning? It can happen in the beginning in prayer. It can happen in the beginning at prayer. You know, we need to acknowledge God and go to him in prayer first. You know, he should not be the afterthought. He needs to be on the forefront of our thoughts and our decisions. You know, we should be praying for direction at the commencement of whatever we're trying to do, at the beginning. We should be praying for the continual support from the Lord as we progress through whatever we're doing. But then we also, in everything that we do, from the inception to the completion, we should be bringing God the glory. We should be acknowledging him. It's not about us. It's about him. You know, going all the way back to the fall of Adam, we see how self-sufficiency and self-dependence has brought ruin to mankind. When a man looks too long at themselves, who do they take their eyes off of? When we look too long at ourselves, we take our eyes off of God. You know what happens when we take our eyes off the directions? We get lost. We get lost. We have to remember to acknowledge the Lord. Keep our eyes on Him or we will lose our way. When we keep our eyes on the Lord and follow His directions, what do we see there at the end? And He shall direct thy paths. He will direct our paths through the storms. He will direct our paths through the wilderness. He will direct our paths through the trials and tribulations. He will direct our paths through the pain and suffering. He will direct our paths. He will direct our paths until...
Starting route to 112 Heaven Lane. Head southeast on Lighthouse Road.
To Heaven Lane. He will direct our paths to bring Him glory while we're here on this earth. He will direct our paths as we continue to go through a pandemic. We go through struggle economically. We go through pain and suffering. He will direct our paths. He will direct our paths as we strive on this earth to live for Him, to be obedient for Him, to be a testimony for Him while we're here on this earth until our future glory in heaven. He will direct our path. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for our time here today. Lord, I pray that we will continue to follow Your directions. So often I think we allow ourselves to be deceived from the lies of Satan. Try to get us to do things in our own knowledge, our own strength, instead of relying on You. Instead of seeking divine instruction from Your Word. Seeking divine guidance from Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would stop doing things in our own strength. And as we leave here today, we say, you know what? Boy, I have neglected acknowledging God in the beginning of the process. I haven't sought Him first in prayer. I keep trying to do things in my own desires and my own thoughts, my own will, my own strength. And it's time for me to start acknowledging God in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. I want to follow God's directions. I want Him to direct my path. And today I'm making that choice. I'm going to follow God's directions. I'm going to allow my obedience to His Word to not be a duty, not be a chore, but be do it out of love and compassion for Him. I want it to come from my heart. Maybe there's someone here who's never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they don't have the Holy Spirit's guidance. And maybe as they spend time in the Word of God, maybe they don't understand it because they don't have the illumination coming from the Holy Spirit. They've never been sealed into the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. They've never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've heard the gospel 100, 200, 300 times, but have never, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're here today and that's you, you say, you know what, I don't know if I got in a car accident on the way home that I would go to heaven for all eternity. I don't have that assurance. You can do that right now from your seat. It's a prayer, but it's not just a prayer that saves. It's believing, and once again, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ came to this earth as man and God. He lived a perfect life and He died on a cross for your sins. That He was gloriously resurrected, just as He promised. And you want to trust Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You can pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I am truly sorry for my sin. Lord, I'm asking You to forgive me. Lord, I'm turning from the sin in my life. Lord, I'm turning to You to lead my life. I believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, that He is God. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross for my sins.
I believe in his glorious resurrection, and right now I am trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and my personal Savior. If you prayed for that, pray for the first. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you could just kind of let me know after church, I would love to give you some direction and guidance from the Word of God in your growth. Now, Lord, I pray that you challenge our hearts. Again, it comes down to the heart. It's preparation of our heart that we're going to obey and be faithful. And it's not a duty. It's out of love. It's because we love you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I pray that we would do that out of love for you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon us as we continue to live for you, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name.